If Trump continues on the path he's doing, he does a lot of things to protect the country, the economy's doing well, the tax program, the things he's trying to work on, is there any possibility you would vote for him in the next election?
Absolutely.
Wow.
There is a possibility. I am an American first. I am, you know.
You're an odd breed. I like it.
I know. I'm out of the box. I totally am.
I love that.
Jennifer, what do you think of this? Betsy, what do you think? Come on.
We all should be oddballs.
Oh, my God. Dr. Faye, you're my favorite Hillary voter ever.
Seriously, though. I mean, I think I love what Dr. Faye says. And I love these women because I think, and this show, because I think that that's exactly how Americans need to be again, you know? We've become so one box or the other rather than just Americans. We become so we're either left or right, and we're going to vote for our person. We're going to hate the other person.
Right.
And I'm tired of that.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Joining me on the show here, Sergeant Betsy Smith is here. She's a police officer for 29 years, a law enforcement trainer for over 20 of those years. She's a consultant in the industry as well. Jennifer Breeden is an attorney specializing in international law, criminal law, and U.S. foreign policy. Dr. Faye Wilson is here. She's a radio and television talk show host, an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, and underdog advocate. Of course, ladies, when Trump started talking, you remember when he came down that escalator stairs, you remember he had that fiery speech initially, and it was, you know, he was talking about, and he kind of got labeled a racist from that point. Jennifer, let's start here with you, because I think that initial talk, I remember that like it was yesterday, when he came down the escalator stairs with his wife and announced he was running for president, and he had made this big speech about needing the wall and talked about the Mexicans coming across, and but it had a lot of people felt racial undertones to it. And I don't think that's ever escaped, because a lot of people just said right here, the ACLU has been really, and many other organizations for that matter, against this, saying that, listen, these countries are just Muslim countries. That's why he's doing it, because he's against Muslims, you know, for the travel ban. And so the travel ban and then the wall have been the two items that have been so challenging for this president, Jennifer, that he hasn't been able to seem to shake that, you know, between the wall and the travel ban. What are your thoughts on it?
I think the biggest thing here is that people have been, really frankly, people have been confused. They felt left in the dark. And so, you know, when you have the last 8 years, they kind of felt Obama was sort of brushing over. And these are the people that were very, very pro-Trump, that Obama was sort of brushing over the threats, you know, saying, look, we know it's radical Islam. And, you know, he wouldn't say it. Oh, this isn't really it. And he would talk a lot. And there wasn't really a direct point there. And I think, you know, part of the reason people were so excited about Trump is that you go from somebody who really talked around the issue to somebody who just flat out said it and was like, we're going to stop this. And it's really just been the keeping the Americans in the dark. You know, a lot of people have felt left in the dark, whereas in so many other countries that I visited, you know, they flat out say what it is, and they can discuss the ways that they're trying to improve national security. So
isn't that
funny,
Jennifer? They talk about it overseas, the topic and the subject. You're so right, but they didn't want to talk about it at home here. And you're kind of right with that. The previous administration, it was sort of a taboo topic, right? I mean, they just wouldn't bring it up. I mean, they wouldn't talk about the radicalization and the jihad and the problems out there. What do you think he was afraid of, Jennifer? He was afraid of rocking the boat a little bit, sort of like Trump is doing now with moving the U.S. embassy
exactly.
to Jerusalem. Same story,
I think,
right?
He was, you know, I think Obama, you know, I think that was his kind of underlying goal, was to not rattle the boat, was to try to be friendly.
Right.
You know, he did discuss how one of his goals was to, you know, bring together the Middle East countries to view America better. He fell into that sort of political spectrum where you think that America and U.S. U.S. forces and these wars and things like that, that our foreign policy in the past, before Obama, was kind of alienating them and was sort of making these extremist groups sort of rise to power. And I think that's what he, I think that's what he was kind of going under the supposition or this fundamental principle that we've created a lot of these extremist groups. So I'm going to try to be nicer, speak more nicely. And,
well,
and
that sort of, all started early on in his administration too. Remember, Jennifer,
yes.
which upset a lot of people when back in 09, when he was, you know, overseas,
sort of
apologizing for America. Right. I mean, that was kind it, of a
what's funny
moment.
About that is, you know, my times I've even, cause that was his, they call it his Middle East trip or his Cairo speech. But I've been over there and a lot of people did not like that. Specifically the Muslims in Egypt who are very much against some of the extremists. They didn't want to hear that. They thought it showed ignorance on our part, and they really need a strong America because they're fighting these threats much worse than we are
now. Well, you know, isn't that so true, Jennifer? I mean, right there, they're on the front lines fighting these things. I mean, isn't that so true? I mean, you've got Egypt, you've got Saudi Arabia, you've got a lot of these countries that it's just, it's all overblown, and Syria's a mess, and it's a mess out there, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you know what? But they recognize the mess. They call it what it is, and they're doing their best to try and stop it and to go into, you know, they're going into mosques in Muslim countries. The government's going into mosques and trying to gather intelligence and vet for extremist teachings and things like that.
Yeah, that's been real edgy here, Jennifer, that point you just make right there. That's been a real edgy conversation here in the States, hasn't it? Going into the mosque.
Has.
Yeah. Huh?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely has. And I think that's one thing that that Trump brought to the American people, just going back to him, is that here was some guy that was coming out that was saying immediately, this is a threat. This is how we need to stop it. And I do think I will say, you know, not that I'm on any side, because I understand both. But I mean, I think with Trump, he did say many times in discussing the travel ban that this was going to be something so we could figure out what's going on, what are vetting procedures, and how we can work with these countries. Because the whole main thing when choosing the six countries on the travel ban, that used to be seven, was we can't trust their governments. You know, when we bring people in, we have to rely on their governments to say, okay, here's the person, here's their file. If they want to come into your country, here's all the information we have on them. And if those governments are falling apart, then there's no way we can get information.
It's not verifiable. I mean, this is the problem. It's not the, and all these refugees, that was a whole other conversation too. And remember, the two other countries they've added in recent days is North Korea and Venezuela. Not exactly vacation spots for most, you know. But
not exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So these two were sort of added to that list. So all right, so here's the thing, ladies. When you were talking about this travel ban, which sort of got marked as a Muslim sort of ban, they say it really wasn't. Others say it really was. And I think what happened is the new administration coming in got caught ahead of themselves. What I'm saying is, Jennifer, you would just put it out there very, very well. When you combine the wall and the fact that, okay, they were going to build this wall, right? And then you combine with the travel ban, a lot of this started to mark the president and his administration as a racist administration that was against Mexicans, that was against Muslims. That's why I've sort of banned all that together to show, okay, what are the real colors here? Dr. Fay, I have no idea what you think about this, but I really do want to know before we go to and get Sergeant Betsy to chime in. I have a feeling I think I know where she is on it, but I don't know where you are on it. You know, when it comes to these things we're talking about, I guess the first thing I'm asking you is this. I mean, is this president and his administration, is he unfairly targeting Mexicans and Muslims? Is he a racist president?
I don't think so. I don't see the president as being a racist. I believe that he felt the need to fulfill a promise that he had made during his campaign. And so applause to him for thinking about his promise and putting forth effort to try to do something. We needed a plan. We needed something. It may not be the best plan, but at least it's one. And it's a 90-day trial. It's to do some filtering, to reassess. And so who's coming into my house? Who are these people and where are they coming from? What are their representation? And true enough, what government is behind? I mean, where are there controls in place on their end? I think that basically because of our openness to embrace everyone around the world, that we let down too many walls.
Mexico very tightly controls their borders. And yet they seem to feel, as we keep hearing from their former president, Vicente Fox, that we should just throw open our southern border to the people of Mexico because they somehow have a right to continue to infiltrate our company, take advantage of our services, take our jobs, take our welfare,
see,
take our medical.
This is what I don't get, Betsy. This is what I just don't understand this argument. I you just put it out there so well. But where's the, how does somebody have that argument? And you know what else I'm wondering? How the hell is it that we're in 2017, all this many years later from our country and the founding of our country, why are we still having a conversation today in today's world? Why haven't they done something before now? Betsy, what do you think? What's the deal, man? I don't even know why this is still a conversation today. That's all I'm saying. Am I the only silly one here or what?
No.
I could tell you exactly why. And this started with, and Jennifer talked about this, when Barack Obama did his apology tour in the Middle East and then continued on with his administration. Basically, he conducted his presidency in a way to continue to tell the world that the United States was too big for his britches. In other words, we thought we were too good, so much better, and that we... that others deserve to take advantage of us because we are such a terrific nation. And yet, and he doesn't believe that we should feel that way. We should only be middle of the road. And so to make us middle of the road, we need to open our borders. That's what the left thinks. Open our borders, let people take advantage of what we have so that we're not so big for our britches. We're not so important and so strong. He and the left and much of the world want to minimize the strength of the United States.
Well, it's become a global agenda. You're right. What they want to do, Betsy, is level the playing field, right? Have a level playing field somehow. You know, I remember a while back there was this whole controversy, you might remember, about American exceptionalism. You remember that whole controversy? In fact, Vladimir Putin took out an editorial in the New York Times. Do you remember that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he took an editorial out. And I remember Obama opined too, Betsy, and he said, like, well, like, American exceptionalism, it's just the same as, like, German exceptionalism, UK exceptionalism, Mexico exceptionalism. It's like, shut, what? What are you talking about?
And that's the thing. The United States of America, as we all know, is a wonderful and yet very new experiment that has succeeded beyond the wildest dreams of our forefathers. And now people want to knock us down. And that's why we're having all this screaming talk about open your borders and share everything you have. And it's not only draining on us financially, but frankly, it's gotten extremely dangerous as we continue to see. And that's why Donald Trump decided on this travel ban. And then what we're seeing is the Trump derangement syndrome taking over, and we've got the Ninth Circuit trying to stop it. We've got the Fourth Circuit trying to stop it.
Right.
It's insane. Our forefathers must be rolling over in their graves to see all this.
Well, the Ninth Circuit Court is full of all appointees from the Obama administration, so you know where they're going to lean, Betsy, you know, right?
Well, the Ninth Circuit Court needs to be most of them need to be impeached, and we need to start over. It's gotten ridiculous. The Constitution means nothing to them.
It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. They don't follow it. They don't even know. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
And most Americans who really love this nation, I believe, feel that way. But when you look specifically at this travel ban and everyone, you know, the court's trying to stop Trump, Barack Obama invoked it more than any other president in recent history. He used it 19 times for various reasons to stop travel from various countries. And nobody got hysterical over that. Why is that?
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Jennifer, you know the answer to that?
Well, I mean, of course, I think all of us know the answer to that. You know, you have a media that's become so anti-Trump. And I mean, really, I mean, everything coming out of the United States and our media outlets, our mainstream media outlets, has become so anti-Trump that it's any little thing he does. I mean, to be honest, you know, I wasn't the huge in the front row, you know, Trump person during the campaign or anything. But as time has gone on, I'm like, OK, this is getting ridiculous now.
Right.
It's getting absolutely ridiculous. He either is doing something right or these people hate him so much that it's just like, can we just run the country, you know?
Right.
And I think, you know, when we talk about immigration, you know, I've done a little bit of immigration law, but I mean, I've worked with a lot of immigrants that have come over, you know, legally. They did the work. Mm-hmm. They've tried. They want to be here, whether that's from South America or the Middle East. And the first thing they tell me is they are the first ones on board with wanting stricter immigration controls, wanting to, you know, close our borders, even if just for, this isn't forever, for temporary, to look and see what are we doing to protect our national security, because these are the people that came here. First of all, they want to stop illegal immigration, which both political parties want to do. I mean, even the Democrats have said for a long time, we don't want illegal immigration, but now suddenly that's okay. It's versus legal and illegal, and we want to make sure we know what's going on, how we can get this. But the immigrants that have come here legally, that are working hard, they don't want to be in a country that they left. They want to be in the United States. And a country that they left would have open borders, no national security, would have no protections for them. So they want to stop it too. They want to stop it more, because a lot of them have seen the threats of not only terrorism, but just criminals that come into their own countries. And they thought America would be better than that. And so they're the first ones on board with this. You know, I was raised in Miami, where Cubans came over on rafts, desperate to escape. And they were the first ones, I mean, these first, second generation Cubans in Miami, that are very much on board with everything Trump said. And they're glad that they can live in a country today that's more protected. And so they want to make sure that, I mean, there are some refugees from the Middle East that I've worked with, spoken with, that they came over, that truly were just families that wanted to escape, that want them to shut down Middle Eastern borders forever, because they do not want more radicals coming in now that they are finally safe in the United States. They just want to work. Of course, this isn't everyone, but some of them.
The whole conversation about open borders is, to me, an oxymoron conversation. I mean, what does it constitute? I mean, it's insane. It's like the Wild West. You know, Sergeant mm-hmm. Betsy put it out there very well just moments ago, too, when she started talking about it. It's not just the illegal immigration problem. It's not just the fact that you've got nefarious characters coming across the border. You've got, you know, and let's be clear, you've got terrorists coming across. Veritas, the Veritas Project, did a whole example of that on the northern border. Forget the southern border a moment, but they did this on the Canadian border. And, of course, people are getting into Canada very easy, and so then they're coming down through the northern border. So it's not just the southern border. So you really have a legitimate conversation here about the sovereign nation and protecting ourselves. You know, we have oceans on the side that kind of sort of maybe protect us, but, you know, you've got the north and south here. But then the other problem that, you know, Sergeant Betsy throws out there is, what about the economic factor? You see, nobody's mm-hmm. really talking about the economic factor. And the economic factor is huge. Sure, the illegal problem of all the jobs and, of course, the welfare benefits. And then you've got the sanctuary cities, and you got, you know, then you got this Kate Steinle problem. And that's, you know, Kate's law, and you got... It's a complex situation. And then, I, you know, ladies, when we have this conversation, I scratch my head and I'm saying, well, this is a no-brainer. Certainly our country is going to protect the fact that, like you say, this was a temporary travel ban, not permanent, temporary. And the whole key mm-hmm. was he ran on it until we could figure it out. Well, I don't know if we'll ever figure it out. I just still can't believe we're this many years old as a nation, and we're still talking about protecting our basic borders. To me, that's like, shouldn't that be like your total birthright when you become a nation, that you protect yourself? But this concept of open borders somehow, it's like the Wild West mentality that these people and these political operatives somehow think it's that America is just a stepping mat, just like a, you know, like a shithole. Like, you can do whatever you want with it, and we can take anybody around the world. You have a right to be here because it's America. And somehow this country is supposed... I don't really understand the concept.
That's what our kids are now learning in their schools. Most of us probably learned patriotism and pride in America, not only through our parents, but also in our schools. And now, you know, my youngest just graduated college down here in Arizona, and... She's a journalism major, ironically, and she was very often taught that America is bad, and that we hate other countries, and we hate other people, and we're racist and all that. And as a Christian conservative, she had a tough road to go, and she really stood her ground. But they are inundated with this from the time that they are in grade school on up, that America is not exceptional.
Yeah, no, there is. It's the education problem that they're teaching in the schools and stuff. This is a real problem. I mean, you're right. And they're being indoctrinated. Dr. Fay, the problem with a lot of the textbooks and the problem with a lot of the education system, and you as, you know, you are a liberal educator yourself and a liberal television radio person. I think the problem with the education, and I want you to debate and argue this back with me, is that they seem to be standing up just for liberal policies and they're not balancing. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely correct. It's wow. not about, it's really not about education anymore, not the way we grew up. Right. It has become more politically, it is controlled by political forces now, and teachers can really teach the way that they thought they could. I have siblings that have been in the school system for 35 years now, and I hear the stories over and over again how the educational system has totally, it is nothing like what it was intended to be, and our children are not really given the tools that they need for life. I also believe that one of the things that has happened is that we're trying to use an old system on a new world, and it's not working.
Yeah, and the world has totally changed. I mean,
the world has totally changed.
Just as
right. it is in our individual homes.
Right.
Growing up in a small community where my parents left the door open.
Right.
Well, in the world today, you don't.
Yeah, we're not evolving,
that.
Dr. Fay. We're not evolving.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. Some of these
policies,
they're as old as some of the old politicians. Listen, I have to ask you this question because I've been dying to know this, and I never asked you in private. And I'm going to ask you in public right now on the radio airwaves here. So in the last election, did you vote for Donald Trump?
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
In the last election, did you vote for Donald Trump?
No.
No.
Oh, me? No, I did not.
You did not?
I did
okay.
not.
Right.
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't assume you would.
But I'm not a Trump hater.
Right.
Yeah.
I know I'm prying here, but should I ask this? Did you vote for Hillary Clinton?
I did.
Oh my God! Wow.
Yeah, I did. I did. I mean, you know, I'm from Arkansas, you know, and
well, that's more reason why not to. What are you talking about?
I know it, but I saw. But here's the thing.
What?
Here's
what?
The thing that most of the world may not know. Hillary was influential in changing the educational system here in the state. And did a great justice.
What kind of a job do you think she would have done as president, Dr. Fay? For real. Now that you know everything. And when I say that, you look at a lot of the evidence in the previous weeks and months that have come out about how that campaign was run and what happened and why they lost it. So how would she have been as president?
I don't think she could have been any worse. I don't know how else to say that.
Wow.
Because We're still dealing with hearts and people who have done, and everybody has something in their closet.
The system is a mess, you're saying.
The system is a mess.
Is Trump doing a good job at this point? Are you happy with where he's going? Do you have some sort of pause or reflection in yourself where you say, well, you know what, I didn't vote for the guy, but you know what, I'm going to support him. He's the president. I think he's doing a pretty decent job. Or this guy really totally stinks, and he's like,
No, I am on board with whoever's sitting in that Oval Office. And to pray for them, to see the good that they're trying to do. As I stated earlier, something had to be done. And I applaud him for at least remembering his promise. Most presidents after elected, they don't. To try to do something. It may not be perfect. It may not be a perfect president. It may not be a perfect system. But it is America. And it's what we've got to work with.
Right. It's what we got to work with.
What are you going to do? Ask for a we're working with Mr. Trump. We're working with President
All right,
Trump.
Let me ask you this. If he continues to do, like, it sounds to me like you probably quasi, you're not opposed to the wall being up. You're not opposed to us protecting our borders and stuff, are you?
I'm not opposed to our borders being protected. How that plays out, I don't know.
Right.
I really and truly do not know.
Right.
To build a wall,
right.
I think is extreme.
Extreme.
But, yeah.
Of course, having a terrorist come across and kill a few people would be extreme too, wouldn't
extreme
it, love?
Too. Yeah. But listen to this. Huh. You build a wall, how high do you make it? How long do you make it?
Well, you make it as long as you need to, and you go as high so they can't come over, and you go as low so they can't go under it.
Okay, because somebody somewhere will find a way around.
Well, they probably will. What I'd also, and I'd put holes through the wall, and I'd put fire in the squads every so many. How's that? Yeah. Boy, that's bad. Now you know I'm going to be tainted here, don't you? All right, I got to ask you this. And I know Jennifer, you want to know this. And Sergeant Betsy, you want to know this as well. So I got to ask Dr. Faye this. If Trump continues on the path he's doing, he does a lot of things to protect the country, the economy's doing well, the tax program, the things he's trying to work on. Is there any possibility you would vote for him in the next election?
Absolutely.
Wow.
There is a possibility. I am an American. First,
you're an odd breed. I like it.
I know. I'm out of the box. I totally am.
I love that,
Jennifer. Because what do you think of this, Betsy?
What
do you think?
Come on. We all should be oddballs.
Oh my God, Dr. Faye, you're my favorite Hillary voter ever.
Seriously, though, I mean, I love what Dr. Faye says, and I love these women because I think, and this show, because I think that that's exactly how Americans need to be again. You know, we've become so one box or the other rather than just Americans. We become so we're either left or right, and we're going to vote for our person. We're going to hate the other person.
Right.
And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of hearing that because it's about Americans. If we see the economy going up, if we see our borders being safe, if we see our country getting back on track and becoming just more knowledgeable about how much the world has changed, why should it matter which political party we vote for if the person in office is doing a good job?
But the partisans have hijacked the whole system, Jennifer. So it matters to a lot of people. But I come from the same school as Dr. Faye does. And so I really appreciate what she just said. I have no idea, ladies, how she would answer those questions because I've never asked her. And she'll tell you back. We've never had the conversation.
No.
But I was very curious because she tends to be very logical. And she puts the word liberal in front of radio and television hosts, which I find interesting. And I never had the chance to really talk with her about in-depth policies like this. And I thought, you know, I'm going to ask her. But, you know, a lot of them in the political sphere are just not that logical, ladies. They're just... There's this horrible cancer within the political sphere. You know what it is? They're all eating the Wheaties of their own political party somehow. And you know the problem is those political parties, both on the left and the right, are all being run from extremist, radical nut jobs. You understand?
Well, and I think, I don't know. I think I used to hear that, you know, the silent majority remains the silent majority. And I love this show because now our voices are being heard. We're speaking out more. But I think the silent majority is a lot like myself, like you, Malcolm, like Betsy and like Dr. Faye. I'm especially like Dr. Faye because I think that's we still do have that silent majority. But again, because we're more reasonable and rational, we're going to be yelled at, spit on and ignored from both sides of the extremists. And that's the most important thing. You know, I think as long as the silent majority remains silent, our voices aren't going to be out. The whole world is going to think something else is happening. America's caving in because of what they hear in the media and from anybody who speaks out. But those that scream the loudest podcasts are always on the fringes. And now I'm glad that our voices are getting out because more people need to hear, okay, I'm not the only one. It's okay that I'm an oddball.
You're so well spoken, Jennifer. Jennifer, I need to ask you another question. I know Betsy wants to know this as well, but I got to ask you this. Now, when you move into the Oval Office and become the first female president of the country, as we know you will, what do you think about Dr. Faye being a liberal person, but with this like great common sense she's got? What about her being in your cabinet? Would you consider?
Oh, that? I need that. I need that. I have never been a groupthink person. I've never been on board with groupthink. I don't want somebody who just adheres to one political value because I think we need to talk. I'd probably beg Dr. Faye, every woman on this show. We already know Betsy's going to run security.
Betsy's going to run security. That's
Sergeant Smith, we need her there. But I mean,
I'm going to get you elected, then I'm going to step up.
I love Dr. Faye, and I need people with that liberal mindset, those mentalities, so we can sit together and discuss things. You know, Ronald Reagan used to get a glass of whiskey with Tip O'Neill every night, Republican and Democrat, and they would sit and they would talk, and that's exactly what this country needs to come back together.
God, do I miss the Reagan-Tip O'Neill days, Betsy. God, do I miss those days, huh?
Oh, I do too. I mean, you know, we were so optimistic back then and things were going so well. And it has become so partisan. And that's when I look at the travel ban and I think, all right, let's take partisanship out of it, or let's apply, you know, one of the big concerns of the left and concerns for people on the right and center as well are how do we treat women in this world and how do we treat gays in this world? Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at this travel ban from a human rights aspect, because that's how Barack Obama used his travel bans. Right. And let's look at Chad, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. How do they treat women? How do they treat homosexuals? Not very well.
Well, let's put it this way. Let me answer that, please. In case listeners don't know, Betsy, they take homosexuals and they push them off of tall buildings and they kill them to their deaths. They fall to their deaths. Do you understand? Women, they sexually abuse and they female genital mutilation. We've been talking about some of this stuff, Betsy, on the show, yeah?
And mass rape of young girls.
I mean, come
that
on.
That goes on in many of those countries.
Yeah. And young boys as well.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we want these people coming to our country who are not coming here to embrace our values, to embrace the American way of life, but are trying to bring their way of life to our country? I would think that people on all spectrums of the political process would agree with that.
Well, what confuses me too, you know, we were talking a little bit about the politicization and politics and things like that, but I was under the impression that that liberals used to be the party that cared about human rights and that spoke out against these things. And it seems nowadays that it's not even about human rights. It's more about let anybody in, no matter what they're going to do to anybody, no matter how much they're going to hurt. And that's, those are just the extremist voices coming out. And so I want to hear more of these things about, you know, do you care? Where are the voices for human rights? And specifically in these countries, they're just making sure that people are protected, children, women. I mean, my goodness, you talked about boys and girls. I've heard firsthand accounts of people who saw plane loads of little kids being taken from villages and flown to some of the countries listed there and not knowing where they were going to go, but knowing they were going to end up as sexual slaves. I mean, it's not just ISIS taking in sexual slaves. It's happening in many countries, specifically in the Middle East and Africa. And I mean, look at the Chibok girls of Nigeria, of Boko Haram. Some of these girls are still there. They're all pregnant. These were Christian
horrible
girls in a Christian school.
Yes. Horrible. Yeah, what happened out there, Jennifer, was my heart just fell. I mean, just collapsed when I seen that story, what they did with Boko Haram, what they did out there with those women, the young girls in Nigeria and that whole area. It was a horrible situation. Listen, your question that you just put out there, Jennifer, when you said what happened to the liberal movement of caring about human rights and all of that, you're bringing it back to the JFK days. And of course, JFK today, as I said the other day on a show, JFK today, John Fitzgerald Kennedy could run on a ticket with Ronald Reagan. You see, they'd come from the same political party today because the extremists have hijacked the whole system. But I'd like Dr. Faye to answer your question. We're going to pause a moment here. I'd like her to answer the question you just put out there about what happened to that liberal heart, or what happened to human rights and caring about people in that way, but also made that sense, what would make sense for Americans. And, you know, what happened to all that? Where did it go? You know, the level of conversation, again, we're having on life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure this season, we are absolutely, it's mind-boggling to me, friends. We are rocking the boat every single day, I have to tell you. And the shows are, like, absolutely off the charts extraordinary. I mean, and it's because of the caliber of people like you're hearing right now, because of people like Jennifer Breeden, because of people like Sergeant Betsy Smith and Dr. Faye Wilson, nothing but brilliance, and ladies who really know how to bring an A-game. And I just love the opportunity to be here and help bring all this forward. Now, our show every day on Talk Radio airs at 5 p.m. That's the new version of the show you'll get every day. That's the latest, okay? And by the way, we have a two-part series that you can hear as well. We're doing things like on talking about, you know, fighting for God. I mean, incredible production we had. You know, human trafficking, you know? We took the football patriotism show that we did an amazing show on that Sergeant Betsy was, who's pretty fussy, by the way, just was so appreciative because we did it with the different sides to really have a healthy conversation. That's what we're doing here. That's why Jennifer said, well, let's have a conversation about, you know, not being so silent about this, but let's bring it up. Let's get out there in front of the conversation. We're doing that here. So listen, 5 p.m. is the newest show. The Encore, 11 p.m. Now, these are Eastern Standard Times, but you can hear this anywhere in the world. You just get the app or go to iHeartRadio, go to AHA Radio, Radio Guide FM. There's a whole bunch of radio networks you'll hear America Out Loud Talk Radio on. We have a third encore I want to mention to you in case you didn't know, for European listeners, 9 a.m. GMT. You'll find us there playing as well. And by the way, when I referenced moments ago and I said that America exceptionalism is great, I want to also mention that we love our European friends as well in the UK. We also believe in European greatness and all of that. I just want to put that out there. I have a lot of great friends in the UK. And I would reference even the West itself. We love the experiment of America, but we love the West and people that embrace all the values that we value here. And we'll be back in just a moment. Continue this conversation. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure, friends. We are knee-deep in season two and having great discussions, great topics every day. Thanks for being here today. And today we're talking about, well, a combination of the travel ban, the wall, kind of this Trump fever that's out there. Like I said, there's a deranged Trump syndrome, and then there's the Trump train. And of course, both of these are opposite sides. But you know, Jennifer Breeden, our co-host and our attorney, just before the pause, had put something out there about, well, what happened to this liberal sensibility out there? I wanted Dr. Faye to answer that. But Jennifer, let me have you first throw it back. Let me ask, have you put the question back out there? Because I'm curious to get Dr. Faye to answer what you initially put out there. What happened to that? Phrase the question properly for me that you really want to have answered within the liberal mindset, will you?
Well, it's tough because I know now we're saying it that I'm just calling out the extremist left too, but I would also call out the extremist right. You know, I think I've been screamed at by
well, let's do this. Hold on. Let's do this. I got a great experiment I want to do right now. Throw a great question out there about the left that you're saying and get Dr. Faye to answer, then throw it out there to the right and let Betsy answer it.
Okay. Well, I think Betsy and Dr. Faye are great examples of what I want to see more of. And I'm falling guilty to what I say that we need to be wary of. And that's, you know, the people that scream the loudest, because, you know, that's all I hear sometimes. But specifically in America, I guess the first one would be, you know, what's happened to that sort of the liberal love of human rights and needing that, because I've seen now more anger against the right. I'm talking real hatred, and I can show you some of the emails I've gotten, things like that. But also not caring about it seems to be this not caring about what's happening happening in some of these Middle Eastern places where young children are abducted, were held as sexual slaves, and then just caring more about who from there wants to come over rather than, you know, you guys got to get your stuff together. This is wrong. I want to hear those voices going there. And I'm just not hearing that as much. I'm hearing more hatred against Trump and against the right and Christian conservatives than anything else.
Common sense doesn't sell. And the voices of people who genuinely love and care about others, it doesn't get the publicity. You can't get backing for that. I know ministers that are in Somalia, Ethiopia, who are digging wells, who are trying to help the girls, who are trying to help children and the women. But they're not on your news. They're not on television. They're not given that publicity. So we're still here. I believe that there are many of us, but we're not. It's not publicized, but, and that's the great thing about this Out Loud platform. And I think it was Jennifer who mentioned it earlier. Now we have a place where our voices can be heard. And I believe that this Out Loud platform is instrumental and an apostolic engineer to help navigate these waters, to help the voices that have been silent for far too long and, you know, been talking to each other, but not have a platform for full expression. And so that gives us this opportunity to let the world know, hey, there is an answer and there is a true love for America, whether it's Republican or Democratic that won the White House, is still our nation. And that we as a people can band together and bond together, and we can make the difference at a microcosmic level, but we can still make a difference globally.
You know, I got to tell you, Jennifer, I know you're going to throw a question in charge at Betsy here, but listen, I got to tell you something. When Dr. Faye talks, like you just hear her, can't you hear sort of not only a voice of reason, but you can just about hear the voice of God coming through her, can't you?
Oh, I do. I really do. I love it. Well, it's the voice of truth to me. I think, you know, we live in a time where it's just moral relativism. It's whatever is relative to the day. That's who has the moral high ground. And there's not absolute truth anymore. Absolute truth is something Thomas Aquinas came up with hundreds of years ago. And that was God's truth. That's no political party, no nothing. It is truth that we can talk about. And we've lost that. And I crave that. I crave that in our discourse, in media and dialogue. And I love hearing that from Dr. Faye and from Betsy. But I mean, I just love hearing absolute truth because I think that's what this country needs to get back on track, because right now it's whoever is screaming the loudest to try to get the moral high ground.
Yeah, because it's political expediency and it's the political power they're after, Jennifer. That's what it is, and that's always been the problem with our system here. All right, so let's get a tough question for Betsy on the right, so you're being fair and balanced here, as we say. Go ahead. What is it?
Good. Fair and balanced. Well, I guess, I mean, it would be the same thing, because I know conservatives are the first ones to really to allow in, maybe this was many, many years ago, but to want more immigration and to, you know, want the immigration system to be good. And clearly that switched. But I mean, these days I'm seeing a lot of the far right, and this is the far right specifically, just so misunderstanding the fact that conservatives used to be the ones that championed legal immigration. And now it just seems to be that, and maybe it's just that ignorance, that it's just completely, you know, shut it down. We don't care about anyone. We don't want anyone. And why it seems that the loudest voices are more against any sort of people or wanting to help people, wanting to do that thing. One thing I always bring up is the pro-life movement. And, you know, I've been pro-life. I'm with that. But my biggest problem is that I see a lot of men, you know, calling it down and talking about it and saying pro-life, pro-life, pro-life. And where the church isn't offering, you know, places for young girls or things like that. And so I want to know why I guess my question is, you know, what has happened to the far right? And, you know, where is that humanity coming out elsewhere? I think it's trying to, but I think right now with all the anger, it's just been more of this back and forth rather than showing the humanity of what conservatives deal with.
A lot of anger out there, Jennifer. Boy, that's hitting the nail on the head. What do you say, Sergeant Betsy?
Well, I think that the anger stems from the right has sat silent and supine for so long. And I think that people like myself are so sick and tired of listening to our quote unquote leaders on the right not stand up for example, for life, not stand up for truly helping people, but also helping people help themselves. And so the people that are truly angry about that go further and further and further to the right. A great example is gun control. You see the far right, those are the people who sling an AR-15 rifle and walk into a non-gun-free zone and say, this is my right. Most people on the right look at that and think, you idiot, you just put our cause back right. 5 years. And that's what we're seeing on the right. Mm. And the problem on the right is our problem. It's the thing about the left that I admire is that the people on the left tend to stick together no matter how crazy it gets.
Right.
They all come together. Look at on the right now. We are so splintered, and because of that, we can't get anything done.
Man, is that Amen. So true.
Is there another, yeah, I mean, obviously, I would love to see more political parties. You know, New Zealand has a system of like 21 different
right,
parties. You
right.
can vote from member 1 to 21, you know, who you want based on
some hierarchy.
Well,
we have two here. We have two legitimate ones. The rest are, don't have a shot in hell. We have dumb no. and we have dumber.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, is this the point where we start truly considering that one that can get it? Because now, I mean, I think the biggest problem with our system, you know, you can look at some parliamentary systems where your election process is, you know, you're voted by the party and things like that. And then people can vote for how many seats in parliament, you know, they want there. I love that some of these parliamentary seats are just certain issues. And if you care about one issue, you can vote for that person in parliament. But now it's like you have to have multi-billion trillion dollars in either your war chest or in Donald Trump's case as a businessman, or else you don't have a chance in hell. You really don't to win anything. And that's why these parties aren't coming out and the voices aren't loud enough and they're not running on better platforms. But I mean, any new party, you're not going to have the funding. You're not going to have the backing.
I got a name for a political party,
yes.
Betsy. I got a name for it for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is the name of the next political party. This is going to be a big hit. Here it is, ladies. Let's call it this. Breeden, Smith, and Wilson. There it is. There it. I'm telling you. There it is. It
sounds
rolls
like
right off the tongue.
Sounds like a six shooter.
Breeden, Smith, and Wilson. Betsy, do you love that or what? Come on.
You're immediately going to think that's a Second Amendment party. We're going to lose all of Dr. Faye's supporters.
I love it. There's your point.
But I mean, I love that. I love that we're talking about truth here because that's exactly, you know, it is what we need. And I think we've all figured out today that we can come from different political backgrounds, but still believe in the same things. We can still want safety for this country. I mean, I've been to so many Muslim countries. Do you know that when the first travel ban came down back in January, I was actually in one of the countries listed on that travel ban when it came down. And there was more huffing and screaming and anger coming out of America than there was in the actual country I was in. Because a lot of people were saying, look, we want to fix our own country. Like what Sergeant Betsy was saying was that, you know, this is on us to fix it. And the people that, you know, in the country that I was in, they weren't as angry as the Americans screaming. They were like, hey, you guys got to do what you got to do. We're trying to fix it from our end.
Jennifer, you're so correct. Because I've experienced the same thing where people look at us and they just from other countries and they think, are you people stupid? And you know what the answer to that is? Yes. There is a naivete combined with an ignorance in this country on issues like this. And it's when I see the protesters all the time. I see protesters with these signs. You know, the LGBT community stands with Islam. And I just laugh and I think, yeah, well, Islam doesn't stand with you guys. So I don't know what you think you're accomplishing by carrying these signs because they don't really understand because they don't bother to learn.
Right. Exactly. And that's the biggest thing is that in these Middle Eastern and these Muslim majority countries where there are some people trying to reform it, trying to change it, trying to help it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do live in a world that has a hegemony system. That means there's, you know, there's one power that's going to have that power. And so they do look at the United States. That's just the way it is. You notice that when you travel, all of us who have traveled, you know, you see that and they rely on a strong United States. If it's not the United States, it's going to be someone else, probably Russia. But it's going to be somebody else. And so they need us to know what's going on. And there's a very, very large danger in the world when they see that that superpower does not have any idea about the threats that they face every single day, and that we are naive about the issues.
Take the responsibility seriously is what you're really saying, Jennifer.
Exactly.
When we don't,
and they are scared about that. They notice it. They ask me as if, or they'll ask Sergeant Betsy or Dr. Faye, as if any of us would know. You know, what is wrong with? Why don't you guys understand this? I mean, you should have seen some of the protests, some of the pictures, some of the things that I've seen in Egypt. People protesting against Barack Obama, and you know, by default, Hillary Clinton, when they were siding with the Muslim Brotherhood there. These are Muslims in Egypt protesting, saying, we do not want Obama anywhere near here. You guys have no idea how dangerous the Brotherhood is, and we do.
Did you all see, by the way, in the last few days, the announcement that came across, like this was like some big revelation or something? We talk about people who run countries and, you know, quasi-dictators, whatever, that Vladimir Putin is going to run for another six-year term. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
This is our look of surprise.
Happened. I know. Yeah, I know. This is our look of surprise. What? What are you talking about? Like, it's like, I mean, oh, so, and I see on the Newswire, right? And I think, like, is that even worth the space of news? I mean, he's going to run for what? I mean, like, he runs the whole system. He's manipulated the whole system. Anyways, that's what I'm talking about, is that major bodies of people, real people, because like Russians or another, Russians are great people. You understand? Russia, I mean, there's lot of great Russians out there who are phenomenal people, ladies.
Goodness. Yeah. I'm on RT. Yeah. That's, I mean, I think I've reached out to some of you ladies in particular, and I know Malcolm, but I'm on RT International a lot. Just to talk about certain things. And I've gotten to know the producers, you know, a woman, you know, they're so, so amazing. I love the Russian people. I mean, to the point where I have friends, if I, you know, go to Moscow, which is my dream, and I don't know how that would be right now. I'm sure it'd be all right.
No,
but
it'd be good. It'd be good. They're fine.
To go and have coffee and just to see them. And that's one thing that we forget too, is, you know, we talk about the leaders. I do this with Iran a lot, actually. The Iranian regime, and this is why anytime I talk about Iran, I have to say the Iranian regime, because I've met Iranians and they are incredible. We're talking about a country where they were so strict on women wearing headscarves. And the whole reason in Islam you do that is to cover your hair. You know, your hair is a sign of disrespect. It's a sign of, you know, you don't want women to walk around with that. So Iranian women shave their heads. The story came out a few years ago. They're still doing it to say, okay, you don't want us to show our hair, we're not going to wear a scarf. So here, now we're bald. And I mean, these people are amazing. And it is hard, because the more you meet the people, the harder it is to just
label. How crazy is that? I mean, you know, I mean, from a guy's perspective, there's nothing more we like than a beautiful head of hair. Right? I mean, come on. I mean, ladies, come on.
I just got to say, we have dumbed down our own population here in the United States so that most people don't know stories like that, don't hear stories like that, don't understand other cultures, whether it's Russia or China or the Middle East. And so they think everyone is just like us. And so they don't, it's just, frankly, it's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Yes. We're the best country in the world, but we're also the stupidest.
When I hear that women shave their head, that was loud. They were speaking. That was the only way they could get their message across, was
truth?
To shave their head. And so they paid attention. Like, okay, now we have a bunch of bald head women. But
O'Connor, Dr. Faye, when she said that, you know, Sinead O'Connor, she was a lunatic. Mm-hmm. She shaved her head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I'm speaking about? I don't know what the hell that has to do with this talk, but it came to my mind. Go ahead.
That's conversation. I was thinking about the leadership, and I think it was Jennifer, maybe Betsy also mentioned having leadership where you have no control. You are subject to this dictator and this villain, and you have no control over your day, over your life. Everything is controlled by this one person. And you bring that to the platform, and this is so beautiful, such a great conversation, because I think about even more reason for us, we as Americans, to say, God, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Because we're so blessed.
We're blessed.
Regardless of who's in the White House, I still can go and do whatever I want to do. I'm not forced to shave my head. I'm not forced to do any of those things. And to honor
what we have and to help work together to find solutions rather than always finding the problem. There are problems and we don't need to look for them. They're there.
I don't think enough people, mm-hmm. I don't think enough people really truly count their blessings. And maybe this is a wake up call for a lot of people to stop a moment. And I'm very serious when I say this. You know, I just had a very dear friend just pass away unexpectedly at 56 years old. Shocked me to no end, right? One of our producers for one of our other shows, he accidentally, some weeks ago, stepped on a just a board with nails on it on a marina deck and ended up having to have a few surgeries. I just found out today he's got to have his foot amputated now.
Okay.
The point is that it should give everybody pause to stop a moment and just take a look around you and begin to count your own blessings. That's something I've done in my own life a lot. And I'll walk into a room and I'll just immediately say, you know, we're blessed. We really are blessed. And it's just, I don't know, there's something about it, guys. When you step out of, I tend to do that a lot in my life. I'll step out of a situation and take a look back in to see where are we really at? What's going on? How do we, you know, how do we make this better? All right. So listen, our final few seconds here, I want to say this to everybody. I still believe, just for the record, what you've learned today is really great and valuable. Listen to a lot of wisdom here, but you got the Democratic Party, you got the Republican Party, and now you'll have the Breeden, Smith, and Wilson Party. So you're going to have three political parties now moving forward. See, that'll be three ladies who got the most common sense. They come from the left, the right, and you know everywhere else. There you go. You got it. You got it. So, and then at some point, again, we're going to, out of this group, we'll elect a president or something. We do need a woman president at this point, probably, guys. You've got to admit out there, the guys have done a pretty piss poor job in the past 200 plus years of this country. Come on, come on, come on, give it to me, give it to me. What you know what? Give me a strong woman in the White House who can go in there and knock him in the back of the head. That's what I want to see. Knock it off and sit down. I'm looking for a Margaret Thatcher. Yeah, I want a tough bitch. How's that? Somebody can walk in there and start, you know, sit down, yourself, and listen.
Come on in with the mama voice. That's
yep, this is the right show to do it.
We need somebody that's going to stand up and say enough. Well, you know, we talk a lot, ladies, about masculinity and feminism. One of the conversations we had last year, we need to do another show on this, actually. Toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, we should do a show on that, toxic masculinity. Anyways, the point is, and you know what the point is already, friends, and you'll continue to hear the point every day on life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. Thank you for being a part of this and America Out Loud. The programming is superb. And by the way, I want to take one quick moment to tell you Dr. Faye Wilson has a new show on Sundays, a phenomenal faith-based show, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the show, Dr. Faye, tell us the name of the show.
It's Intentional with Dr. Faye.
Intentional. Yeah. And what's the tagline? Do you remember offhand?
Agents of change are not born, they are made.
Mm-mm-mm. How do you like that, ladies?
I love it.
So you listen into that. You'll hear it now every Sunday, 11 a.m., and she'll be putting the good word out there for all of us to follow. So it's cool. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Listen, thanks again for being part of this journey here. Sergeant Betsy Smith, Jennifer Breeden, Dr. Faye Wilson. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.